So, you have qualified as a teacher and you are keen to gain experience and make your way up the ladder towards a position of leadership. Or maybe you're already in a position of leadership and want to expand your reach or consider other senior positions. One thing we can agree on is that there is no shortage of quality books out there, as well as endless courses on how to develop your leadership skills. However, in order to get real clarity of thinking, develop goals that really motivate you and increase your overall chance of genuine success, what you really need is a coach. I'm Richard Reid, and this is Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast. Through previous episodes, I have had the privilege of seeing how effectively educators have used coaching within their school communities, and today we're going to take a slightly different angle and consider the impact coaching can have on these leaders themselves. Now today, I am really pleased to be joined by Amanda Sampson. Amanda has enjoyed an eclectic career in education, which has included alternative, tertiary, and K-12 schools. She has a Bachelor of Education, a Master's in Educational Leadership and Management, a Doctorate of Philosophy, and a Postgrad Diploma in Counselling. Throughout this period, Amanda has held various leadership roles in schools, and she is also an accredited coach with Growth Coaching International. In her current role as a Senior Education Consultant with Hutton Consulting Australia, she works with emerging and established leaders in schools as they prepare for new roles or look to grow their leadership skills in their current workplace. Hutton Consulting Australia is a specialist educational leadership search and development company investing in leaders today for the future. Within the company, Amanda's focus has been to develop and support the growth of others to be the best version of themselves, both at work and in their lives beyond the school gates. Amanda, it is a pleasure to have you join me on the podcast today.
Lovely to be here, Richard.
Amanda, can you share with us something of your journey into education and how you arrived at your current role in Hutton Consulting?
Certainly can. I think when I began, perhaps like many of us, Richard, you know, when I was in primary school, I wanted to be a teacher. My mum was a teacher. All her friends were teachers. My grandmother was a teacher as well. And it was a real passion of mine. But by the time I hit secondary school, I think that all went out the window for probably various reasons. Finished secondary school, was not perhaps the best student, and then did a lot of work and travel and more travel, as many Australians of my generation back then would do. Came back to Australia, I guess because I had a bit of an epiphany that I wanted to become a teacher. So went to uni, did my Bachelor of Education in the mid-90s, which wasn't a particularly great political situation here in Victoria at the time. There were a lot of schools closing. So I stayed at uni and ended up doing a doctorate, where the nexus, I guess, of my study was really language, identity, and education. Then found myself again in London, worked for Dr. Cher Height for a little while, and sort of finished my time there working in a few universities, predominantly working in degrees that attracted mature age students who had, in many cases, not even finished secondary school themselves and had found themselves in their sort of mid to late 30s being pulled back into education and following their passions and I guess to some extent trying to find their purpose. So I suppose I decided what I really wanted to do, rather than helping them get out of the river, as they say, you know, at that point, I wanted to go back upstream and find out why or whether I could help people stop falling in. So back in Melbourne, found myself in schools again, and spent probably about 10, 11 years working in schools before connecting with Fiona, who is one of the directors of Hutton Consulting, and decided to come with her and really try and spread my work more systemically across more schools.
Fantastic. I love the amount of travel you've had. You know, I think that experience, you know, it always benefits us as educators. You know, the more countries we've been to and the more cultures we've experienced. So that's always going to be a real positive. Amanda, you've been working through the coach accreditation program with GCI. Can you think back over your career and tell us who or what first got you interested in coaching?
I might get a bit esoteric on you, Richard. I think for me, sort of development and personal development has always been really important. And I think having someone who you can share these ideas with and talk about, you know, what you feel or what your journeys or what your dreams are is probably the first, you know, the first introduction of coaching in that very informal way. And I think being able to find people to have relationships with that are full of trust and, but where the personal responsibility is still very much focused on yourself. You know, they're not going to solve your problems for you, but they might help you as you work out how to do that. You know, I think each of us has the capacity to grow. And, you know, as teachers, as educators, we hold, well, I hope we hold these expectations of all our students. But then it follows that we should hold them of for ourselves and for others. So for me, coaching really helps us keep the focus on the person in front of us and not on what we think they should be doing, you know, and it allows their gifts and strengths to unfold. And I think I've had a number of relationships and friendships in my life where that energy, I suppose, has been a real flavor of it. You know, and sometimes that means when we're talking with people or when we're working with people more formally with coaching, you know, they may not end up where you think they might end up, but at the very least, they're going to be in the driving seat of where they're going. And that is ultimately fulfilling. I suppose for me personally, you know, I have had the tendency to perhaps not just take the road less traveled, but often veered off the path altogether, you know, and certainly I've had some luck, but, mostly, you know, I've worked hard and I've enjoyed the diverse experiences that I've had. And I think that's because it's been my choice, you know, and that's very, very empowering. So for me, working with coaching, and either with a coach or as a coach, it enables us to identify and recognize our strengths, perhaps articulate our career goals or our dreams. And I just think that makes, you know, being in that relationship, that coaching relationship makes that map a little easier to navigate.
Yeah. You mentioned a number of words in there. I mean, you started off obviously talking about the whole concept of trust, which obviously is absolutely key to any coaching relationship. And you're absolutely right. You know, we as teachers, we see our students with this capacity to grow, and you're absolutely right. You know, we should be able to see that within ourselves, and that idea of expectation. You know, we should have high expectations of ourselves as well. And again, yes, you're absolutely right with that idea of empowering, and that idea of choice. You know, I like the idea where you talked about, yes, you know, we veer off the road sometimes, but, you know, having that choice and opportunity to make those decisions within a coaching relationship is very, very empowering. Amanda, you've mentioned already that you're working with Hutton Consulting as a senior consultant. Can you share with us just a bit of an overview of the work that Hutton Consulting is actually involved in?
Absolutely, Richard. And, you know, I think on the surface, We're involved with executive search, you know, principals and leaders, placing them in schools. We also have a suite of advisory services to support schools and school leadership. And I think as an organization, we're really committed to working with schools so that we can bring the right leaders to their school. We know the importance of finding someone who's not only a good fit, but someone who'll be a great contributor to the culture. You know, Brené Brown talks about the difference between fitting in and belonging. And for us, this difference is really crucial. You know, great schools have great leadership teams who have a sense of belonging to the community. You know, then they can show up as their full selves. You know, it means they can lead change, they can navigate conflict, they contribute to innovation and support the development of everyone in the school because they feel connected and accountable to the whole school. So the importance of that work in the executive search space for us has been a bit of a game changer for schools. You know, we're committed to building relationships, trusting relationships with candidates and with schools in order to understand what both the candidate and the school are looking for and trying to bring them together. Then our advisory services are there to support the candidates and the schools as they grow together. You know, for example, we have a principal package where we work closely with a new principal in a coaching framework in a way. But to really be an extra pair of hands, a sounding board, a mentor, a co-strategist, you know, whatever they need to help them succeed. Because underneath, you know, all we do is there's this more important aspect, which is growth and purpose. You know, as an organization, we're really committed to being part of the educational environment in a way that supports growth, change, well-being. And when we bring great leaders to schools, then the biggest benefit is to students. And, you know, young people are our future. Yeah. And I think at the core, that's what motivates all of us to do what we do.
Yeah, terrific. And it's interesting, and I mean, I know the podcast series, I mean, we have listeners all around the world, you know, not just obviously within Australia and New Zealand. And that whole concept of executive search, I know certainly over here in the UK and specifically within Northern Ireland, I mean, that wouldn't be a term that's used over here. You know, the concept of an organisation assisting with placing principals in what is their ideal school is something that we just wouldn't have. And it's really encouraging to hear, you know, that's something that's available to principals and to schools, you know, in various parts of the world. I love that phrase, you know, rather than fitting in, actually belonging. And that's where you're, I suppose, coming in your consultancy role, trying to make a good fit. So that they will then belong in the long term. And I think two words there you mentioned, Amanda, growth and purpose. So it's not just a matter of finding the right head for that particular school and leaving them there. You know, there's obviously that follow up behind. there's that support, you know, beyond that particular decision in placing them to help them grow and I suppose really give them a purpose. Amanda, in our discussion prior to today's conversation, we talked a wee bit about what we call the worldwide problem in our schools, where the cost of staffing takes up at least 80% of the school budget. I know as a previous head myself, that's absolutely true. Considering this is any school's greatest resource, share with us how you use coaching to help senior leadership team think creatively as to how to best utilise their staff.
Yeah, it's a really important point, isn't it, Richard? And I think when we spoke before, you know, I guess that idea that 80% of a school's budget is held for staff. So it makes sense to get some expertise, some help to get the right people in the school.
Absolutely.
And I think it's really important, you know, to sort of broaden it out a little bit. Schools are changing and, you know, education as a career is changing. And I think it's no longer a job for life or a role for life. You know, school leaders, whether middle or executive, are becoming more fluid in their career choices. And we've also got an incoming generation of teachers who have very different expectations. I guess it's no longer school, uni, school. You know, there's a lot more opportunities and options available. And I think it's so important for school leadership to move away from this idea of, you know, the model of one size of teaching fits all, one sort of teaching load fits all, and starts to think more creatively about how to work with the people that are in their school. You know, not only do people have different choices now in terms of their career development and trajectories, but they'll also tend to move schools more often. We no longer have, you know, well, you're a head of house or you're a head of department and that's your job for life. You know, you might only now have it for 3 years or 5 years. And certainly principals, are often on 5-10 year contracts. And with it, I guess certainly in the independent sector in Australia, there's an increase in, corporatization of schools and the idea that, well, maybe 10 years is enough. And then even if you're doing a great job, it might be time for somebody else. So I think bringing a coaching mentality and a structured coaching focus into a school begins to build that trust around growth conversations. And you can begin to work with your staff and understand what they need, what they're looking for, what their purpose is. And therefore you're leaning into their strengths and hopefully getting the best out of them and having that expertise in your school for longer. You know, particularly it'd be interesting to see how things unfold across the world. But in Australia at the moment, we have very low unemployment. And so it's an employee's market. Which means that people are more likely to move on to find the right place for them. And I think schools need to be really mindful of that with their workforce and thinking about how they retain and develop the best people that they have on staff. You know, I think it'd be great to see education much more as a career that you can move in and out of. You know, you can go off and do something else for a little while and then come back and bring those skills and understanding into an education environment. And developing a coaching framework in a school enables people to feel safe that they can have really honest conversations with school leadership about what that might look like for them, you know, because ultimately, whilst a senior leadership team and a principal is really focused on the health and the vitality of their own school, I do think it's really important that we continue to keep pulling our lens out and remembering that we are here to educate young people. And really that is about hopefully enabling young people to have the skills and know themselves and their strengths and, I guess, social responsibility to create a future that we all want to live in.
Absolutely. And I think you're right about this idea that certainly over the years, you know, the whole role of, you know, headship and leadership within schools is very definitely changing. And I suppose one thing I was going to ask, as an aside, Amanda, whenever you go into a school, would you normally find there is an established coaching culture that welcomes this idea of, you know, principals, you know, developing themselves and moving on to other positions?
I would love to be able to say yes, Richard. I think in some schools, there's definitely a move towards that, you know, and we yes. experience that in the work that we do when we speak with candidates and, you know, as they move through our processes, we ask for referee checks and, you know, the opportunity to talk to people that they work with. And, you know, there is still a very strong difference between those that say, yep, my principal's on board, you know, he or she is encouraging me to grow and develop, you know, helping me. Yeah. And we know that great leaders develop other leaders. You know, that's really a real talent of a strong leader. But unfortunately, Richard, we also work with many, many people who, as they move through our process and we think they're fantastic and they're going to grow into a new role and be a great contributor to a new school. But they say, look, only when we get towards the end is it okay for you to check with referees? Because my school doesn't know, you know, my leadership yeah. doesn't know that I'm looking elsewhere. And I think that's such a tragedy. You know, it means that there's a very good chance that in the culture of that school, there aren't conversations happening around growth and development, which seems crazy to me. We're in the business of education. Yeah. You know, we talk about growth and development of our students all the time. I think bringing that lens to all the staff in the school would be, you know, really a great way of creating a dynamic learning community in a school.
Yeah. It's interesting, Amanda, when you mention those comments, and some schools welcome it and some maybe slightly less so. But over the last, whatever, 6 or 7 episodes of this particular podcast, you know, if people listen into those episodes, they'll hear me speak to principals and head teachers, and they'll be talking about having essentially lost really good people. But they say it in a very positive way because they see it as part of the bigger education picture, and they're developing their own people. But they're realizing that they have to continue to build capacity around that to expect the really good people in their school may well move on to other positions. And I think that's a very forward thinking approach. And I suppose whenever you come into a school to do your work, it really comes down to governors or trustees or whatever the governing authority is, you know, for those people to be open-minded to this particular approach and seeing their people develop and in some cases move on to other schools. Amanda, you've been involved in, as you say, a lot of one-to-one coaching sessions. So aimed at helping educators navigate their way up through this system towards leadership positions, or in some cases, transition into other schools or other positions within the education sector. So how impactful has coaching been in these conversations?
I think it's been essential, Richard, and I think it's essential for a couple of reasons. The most important one is very much about working with the person where they're at that particular moment mm-hmm. in time. You know, and some people have leadership aspirations, but maybe haven't had the opportunity to really understand what that means or looks like for them. And a coaching conversation, I think, really has to have an element of supporting people exploring, identifying, articulating what their purpose is. You know, and I think if, particularly as you move into school leadership, which is, you know, as we've talked about, a very complex, demanding occupation. You know, you really, I think if you're going to go in that direction, you want to have that inner conviction and that inner understanding of your why, you know, and I think coaching enables us to work in that space, to work with people so that they can identify that why, you know, their own personal why. And then it has, you know, it has a broader, remit as well in that in doing that and creating that trust and creating that connection, you can begin to create a space for people to explore, well, what are their gaps? What are their challenges if they're going to step into leadership? You know, are they highly operational, but they forget that they're working with people? You know, are they too relational and are they unable to really ask people to do things and hold them accountable? You know, or are they super strategic, but they've got these ideas up here in the sky and find them very, very difficult to bring them down to reality? So I think coaching enables us to explore those strengths and those challenges and help people set some really clear goals and put a very clear pathway, in place to help them achieve that and to implement those changes or those, transformations that they might want to make. You know, I think, one of the great things about coaching is that a goal is a wish without a plan, you know, and I think coaching helps you bring that goal down into creating a really clear plan. And, that really helps people understand why they want to go into leadership and how they're going to get there.
And it's interesting. I would imagine, Amanda, you know, in some cases where leaders or teachers would think they're at a stage where they're ready for leadership, but maybe through those coaching conversations, they realize maybe it's not just the right time. And there are obviously a number of things they might want to work on. Like you say, maybe they're more operational or maybe they're more people oriented and they need to look at those, I suppose, blind spots and, you know, there's great goals to work on, you know, over a period of time. It's interesting. You'd mentioned this idea of, you know, helping them to decide what is my purpose. As you were speaking, I had written down on my page here, Amanda, return to the why. It's been interesting, which you said yourself, the number of head teachers on this podcast series so far who've talked quite a bit about regularly returning to the why. And I think that's really, really important. And obviously those coaching conversations give them a safe space to have that conversation, returning to the why and actually asking themselves, even now that I'm in a position of leadership, what is my purpose? And to be able to ask yourself that on a regular basis is, I think, sign of good leadership, you know, to be able to ask that question regularly. Thinking beyond the school building for a minute or two, Amanda, can you share with us how you feel coaching can benefit educators in life outside school?
Yeah, I think if you're in senior leadership in a school, it is in very many cases a very all-consuming role. You know, I'm sure you know that yourself, Richard. I remember speaking with a principal about a year or so ago, and we were talking about this really interesting, almost symbiotic relationship that, you know, senior leaders have with their school. They have to love their school. They have to have that deep belief in their purpose and their why. But they also have to have a sense that the school loves them back, you know, and I think the demands on you, both in terms of time, but in terms of emotional connection and all of those, I guess those whole self things that comes in senior leadership, means that, you know, you really want to have that sense that your why is strong, you know, and appreciated in the environment that you're in. So, so I suppose when you think about how that might look outside the school gates, I guess it's about really knowing how to be present in your life and understanding why it is that you're doing what you're doing. You know, we want the best educators in our schools. We want young people to have great role models. And I guess coaching helps you explore your whole self, which is going to most definitely flow beyond the school gates. And I think the more we understand who we are, then we can come to school more fully. We can understand what drives us. And that has a ripple effect, both, you know, from our role of leadership outwards, but also from our lives and into a school. And I think, again, you know, we have one life, Richard, one life, however long or maybe not so long it might be. And I think it's so important that we live it as well and as fully as we can. And, you know, to do that, we do need support, at times guidance, but we definitely need safe spaces where we can explore what living means to us. And you know, coaching, without kind of going into the counseling side of it, that I don't mean it so much like that, but it's more, you know, what am I bringing to the world? Who am I bringing to the world? Yeah. And I think, you know, coaching at some level is also working in that space as well.
I like your phrase, that idea, you know, where you're giving up an opportunity to explore your whole self, which obviously goes way beyond the school gate. I remember listening to a podcast about a year ago, and this particular organization was bringing coaching into the workplace, and that lovely phrase where they said, you need to bring your whole self to work. And I thought that was a great description of what they were trying to do within an organization. So the idea of within a school, you know, principals, head teachers, senior leaders, being able to bring their whole self to work is incredibly powerful, incredibly beneficial, not just to them, but to their role. And ultimately, we come back to the outcomes for the pupils, for the students, because it has a ripple effect. Amanda, in your, I suppose, numerous conversations with school leaders throughout this pandemic, there have been, I suppose, common themes maybe develop across various leaders. Can you give us a wee bit of detail about what sort of themes might have come out and how you've used coaching to help address those?
Yeah, I think, you know, schools and school leaders have been really amazing, you know, over the last 2 years. They've been adaptive, they've been agile, they've been leaders of community in a way that, you know, has meant that and it comes back to that idea, I think, of whole self, Richard, because that doesn't mean, you know, you also bring your dark and shadowy and grumpy bits as well. You know, you do have to bring perhaps the best of your whole self at times to schools.
Yes.
And I do think that, you know, many, many principals really have just done an amazing job over the last couple of years, because they've had to manage their own anxiety, or, you know, their uncertainty about what was happening in the world, and be there as leaders for their schools. And, you know, at the very least, those who have perhaps worked on themselves through perhaps a coaching format have been able to have that self-awareness and understand how important it is to be, you know, quite steady and consistent in a time of uncertainty. And I think many, you know, unconsciously or consciously, school leaders have had so many things thrown at them, both during the pandemic, but also certainly in Australia, as we begin to move back into face-to-face teaching, where they've had to react very quickly to incredibly difficult and challenging calls upon their time, upon their school. You know, I mean, just as an example, a couple of days before school went back at the start of our academic year, which is, of course, the end of January, early Feb, schools were suddenly required in Victoria to you know, distribute rapid antigen tests to every family, you know.
Yes.
So that's the goal. You know, and if you very quickly need to work through some sort of a growth process, some sort of a coaching process, if you think of that framework, right, what have I got to do? How am I going to do it? Which way are we going to do it? Okay, that's what's going to happen, and off we go. You know, and schools had obviously very different ways of doing that, but I think phenomenally they've all really managed to navigate the constant changes, the constant calls upon them to do things differently, quickly. And I think understanding coaching and using that very structured framework of, you know, goal to plan, has enabled, I think, every school to really manage that very, very well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's been a huge challenge over the last 2 years through the pandemic. There's been no guidebook. There's no dummy's guide to how to run a school during a pandemic. So every day, I suppose, it has been a new page and a blank page at that. And school leaders, as you say, and rightly so, we acknowledge how well they've done. I think those who have had the privilege of having a coach work alongside them have had that bit of an advantage, and I think they will know themselves, those who are listening who've had a coach, you know, the benefit that has been to them has been just hugely advantageous to them. Amanda, it has been just great talking with you today, and I know this conversation that we've had will be a significant benefit to many of our listeners. I'd like to wish you continued success as you continue to coach educators to help them raise their game, become more impactful in their roles, and in some cases take that leap of faith into more senior positions in their quest to move education forward. For our listeners, if you would like to find out more about GCI's coach accreditation coaching program or indeed any of our coaching courses, please check out the website at growthcoaching.com.au. And if you'd like to find out more about the work of Hutton Consulting, please check out the episode description for more details. In the meantime, I trust you will be able to join me on the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.